Well, we started last week in the book of Galatians, and we're going through. We did some introduction last week and did some of the historical backgrounds and things. I want to read again the thing out of the Spirit-Filled Life Bible, because it sets really the stage for the entire letter, what it's written about. And it says that legalists in the church, called Judaizers, taught that certain Old Testament laws were still binding upon Christians. They reasoned that God's promise is extended only to Jews, and that the Gentiles must be circumcised before they could fully experience salvation. The Judaizers did not deny that faith in Jesus was necessary, but insisted that it was inadequate. One must add to faith observances of the law. This doctrine was the direct contradiction to Paul's insistence that salvation was by grace through faith. So the Judaizers sought to discredit his teaching by challenging his authority. They charged that he was a second-hand apostle inferior to Peter and James. Furthermore, they argued he was a compromiser who made the gospel more attractive to Gentiles by removing its valid legal demands. Paul vehemently reacted to the evil propaganda of the Judaizers by asserting his apostolic authority and explaining the gospel of grace through faith. And so we were talking about, and we began in our readings into the Galatians, the letter to the Galatians, and I'll start there to read in the beginning, the first chapter, where Paul wrote in verse 1, said, Apostle, he's not from men nor through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And this was really as Paul opens up his letter, which is really interesting because most of Paul's letters were always, if you'll go back through and look at Paul's letters, most all of them were, because the first chapter is laid out in exhortation to the people. This one's not. He gets direct right off the bat, and he goes into this, his apostleship. Paul wrote to the Ephesians and told them that concerning the gifts that Christ gave to the church, and these are not gifts of the Spirit, but gifts Jesus gave, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, are gifts of Christ to the church. And so really falling in line, no man calls somebody to those. You don't get educated to become one of these ministry gifts. Paul was set in that ministry by Jesus Christ himself. Verse 2 says, and all the brethren who are with me to the church of Galatia, he's writing to, he says, grace to you and peace from God, the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God the Father. And he did what he did. We talked about it. He delivered us from this present evil age. That was the whole point. We have been delivered from it. We spoke a bit about that last week. Is the church really is not having an understanding of faith. They're always trying to get delivered. The whole point that Jesus delivered the church. The church is delivered. Now, if you really want to go down and look in the mind of God, everybody in the earth, everybody who lives in the earth has been delivered. But now you have to accept Jesus to get to walk in that deliverance. But Jesus, his work was done for all humanity, but it doesn't do any good unless you accept it. And it's one of the things is you need to understand that basically the gospel that is preached today is not a gospel of deliverance. Now, I had a gospel of deliverance preached to me. That's how I got over drinking and that stuff, is because I was told that if you accept Jesus, you're delivered. And I wasn't told that you need delivered. That you get saved and then you just work it all out and try to figure this all out and I was told I was delivered. And our gospel is a gospel of deliverance, but it's not. Most gospel that is preached, the majority of what is called the gospel preached today is a gospel of forgiveness of sin. That's just it, right there. That's it. They call that the gospel. Well, that is in the gospel, but that's only a minor part of the gospel. We're going to find out as we go on to study this. Paul talks about things he preached to these people. We'll find out what Paul spoke to them about. Paul spoke to them things about the Spirit, things of the Spirit, about manifestations of the Spirit. He talked to them about that. So they were part of the gospel. Paul preached that as part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as just being saved is the gospel. In fact, I would say probably a good 90% of the church. That's what they think. Salvation, if you're preaching salvation, you're preaching the gospel. That's part of the gospel, but that's not the whole gospel. That's not the whole gospel. Very few ministers preach the full gospel. They don't preach that. They preach a part of the gospel. Thank God they preach the part about being saved. But the bad part about it is the devil holds the majority of the church bound because they don't know the full gospel. They're told, in fact, that a lot of it don't exist anymore, that we have no need of it. You know, you got saved, you're just trying to get by. You were forgiven. That's all you need is forgiven. Well, people live like hell. We've been delivered from the evil age. We've been delivered from evil. So evil shouldn't dominate us, should it? It shouldn't rule over us. If I'm not delivered from it, well, then this is a lie and evil, sin's going to dominate and rule me. Well, then Jesus didn't deliver us from it. And the reason people live, see, they're told, you're going to. This is just part of it. You're just going to sin. You're just going to this. You're just going to that. That they preach, really, and that is against the gospel. It's actually another gospel. And now, it's not another gospel that God preached, but it's man's gospel. It's man's gospel that's preached. And it's not a terrible gospel, because gospel means good news, and that ain't good news at all. You know, you're forgiven of sins, but you're still going to sin like crazy. Is that good news? Sure not to me, dear Lord. I don't know. Anyhow, so, but we've been delivered from this evil age, thank God. It says, to whom be glory forever and ever, amen. Now, we're going to go on down here and pick up looking Paul's further in his writings, because Paul talks unto them in Galatians, the first chapter, verse 6, and says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. So, Paul was really, he said, I marvel about the fact that what you guys are doing here. That you guys, you've been called by the grace of Christ. In other words, you came in on the calling of the grace of Christ, but now you've turned to another gospel. You've turned away from grace. So this gospel that they accepted was not a gospel of grace. It was not a grace gospel. It was really based in the doings of men. But say, so, you know, Paul here, interesting, he immediately confronts the problem. He's a directly, you know, force on this thing of where they're headed for. He accuses them of leaving God because they're following another gospel. He accuses them. You're not following God anymore. See, a lot of people don't realize, you know, there's a lot of Christianity today that's not following God, who insists they follow God, but they're really following the teachings of men. And that's sad. And then Paul says, which is not another, in other words, not another gospel, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. So Paul accuses them of listening to ones who pervert or distort the true gospel. People come along and distort the true gospel. See, and this is one of the things dealing in the areas of revelation. When we get over to areas of dealing with God, revealing things to people, that's why one of the things that I was so glad that I grew up under Kenneth Hagin's ministry, and I obeyed the Lord and stayed close to Brother Hagin's teachings, because Brother Hagin would say he did not care. He said, I don't care if Jesus appeared to me and told me something. He said, if it can't be proved by Scripture, he said, I won't preach it. I won't preach it. In fact, he told Jesus that. Jesus told him some things, and it was over his head. He said, you're going to have to give me Scriptures for that. And he said, Jesus smiled at him and said, you know, at least give me two Scriptures on that. Jesus smiled at him and said, I'll give you four. But he would never do this. But see, it's one of the things that Jesus so liked about Brother Hagin, was Brother Hagin would not accept things outside if the Word couldn't prove it. Because we preach the Word to people. And Brother Hagin made this statement one time. He said, I know certain things that, he said, scripturally they're not clear, but I know that they're true. And he said, I don't preach them because, he said, the script, he said, there's no need that we have to have it anyhow. But he said, there's just things that the Lord showed me. And there's things that people wrote books about I wish they had never wrote books about. Because scripturally, it gets people off, and people start getting off into other things. If you minister to people, stay with the Word. You know, it doesn't matter what appears to you or what happens. Stay with the Word of God and preach to people things that you can prove through Scripture. I'm going to tell you what the Lord, I have, over the years, every time He talks to me about something, He'll say something to me and show me a Scripture. and take me to Scripture to show me. I'll find this interesting. Sometimes he makes a statement to me about something, and when he makes a statement without saying anything else, all of a sudden I can think of three or four Scriptures, and I think, oh my God, that's what that's dealing with. That's what that deals with. That deals with that. And I just know it. You just know it, and I can go over those Scriptures. But if there's not Scripture there, you got to stay away from it till you get Scripture that you can prove it to people through the Word. Doesn't matter what's said outside of it. The Word's enough. Faith in the Word's enough for people. They don't need something else. They don't need something else. So faith in the Word, they want something else. You know, tell them, go join the Mormons or go to this group or that group. Say, but we ain't got it here. This is great. We ain't going to give it to you just so you try to make you happy. The Scripture must be enough. So, people come along and they distort the gospel. One of the things that I found out about the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's so simple and so easily laid out that we have a hard time with it because of intellectualism. It's one thing, we're too educated. We use our minds. You know, it's good to have a mind to use it, but there's a time to use your mind, there's a time not to. There's a time to let your mind be used. Let God use it. Instead of you always trying to have to figure out with him and try to do things, I think that's what hurts people. It hurts people a lot. They're always trying to figure things out. I learned from a time when I was a young Christian, and I'd get over into things and trying to figure things out in the Bible, and start to do sort of, I'd say, call them my own studies. The Holy Ghost wasn't in it. I was trying to figure it out. And the Holy Ghost really wasn't in it, and you come up with ideas that are your ideas. And later on you find out they were my ideas. It wasn't a discussion. And it's the thing to do. I've learned over the years to allow the Holy Spirit to direct me into when it comes to studying in the Bible. There's a flow that he's in and doing, and there might be things that I'm interested in, but I don't go there if he ain't there. If he's not there, don't go there. He's not in it, stay out of it. Just let him. I found over the years, many times the Lord is leading me in directions, and lots of times he's preparing for me things ahead. And he does it, he'll start, certain things keep coming up to me in Scripture, and I'll just go over and follow that. I'll just go through those things and learn them. Sometimes there are things that I'd like to think mentally, you'd like to go to something else, but those are the things that keep going on inside of me, and I follow them. Sometimes I find out down the road, oh, it's good I went over to those things, because things come up, and now you're ready for them. Lots of times people are not ready for a thing. They're always over, you know, they're wondering about things in the Scripture that really don't matter a lot. It's like Brother Hagin used to tell us, he said, the church has majored in the minors. Anything of minor importance, that's what they major in. Anything of major importance, they don't know nothing about. It's like, and I don't want to go there. I don't want to be in that. We don't want, there's one thing is we don't want to in any way. Now understand, we're given, just think about, if I pervert the gospel, what am I doing to Jesus? If I pervert the gospel, that's a direct, really, attack on the work of Jesus Christ and his grace. Now I might do it innocently, but see, this is why we shouldn't be so easy to go over to start things and say stuff and things. And what's bad about it here is because these individuals, we're going to find out that Paul does talk about these individuals, and he later calls them false brethren. And this is one of the things it is. I want to tell you, it's really, if a person doesn't believe that faith in Christ is enough that I have to do something else or I can't be saved, I'll tell you what, I'm concerned about their salvation. Because that is not gospel, that is not salvation gospel. If they believe they have to have something else, you know, I know a good minister friend of mine, and he said something really dumb to me about people going to heaven. He said, he talked about another minister years ago, good minister. He's going to be with Jesus. And he got in hooked in some of the followers of this guy. They say believe that that Jesus, that you're not going to, if you aren't filled with the Spirit when Jesus comes, you won't go to heaven if you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I said to him, I said, now let me ask you a question. I said, you believe that that's true? You believe that? Oh, yeah, yeah. He said, I believe the Scripture, he preaches that. I said, number one, you got to show me. I said, you give me two or three Scriptures that point to that. Well, he couldn't. And he's a Rhema graduate. I've known him well for years. He couldn't do it. And I said, number two, let me ask you a question. I said, if a guy's a sinner, I said, I got to ask you, if a guy's a sinner, I said, he's a rank sinner. And I said, it's on his deathbed and you go in and he receives Christ. I said, does he get to go to heaven? Oh, yeah. I said, isn't it interesting? So if you're living here on the earth and you didn't get baptized in the Holy Spirit and you weren't living some rank life, you don't get to go. But the guy who lived the rank life, who in the last minute accepted Jesus, I said, you know, I said, I don't think I want to go to your heaven. I said, I don't think I want to be there with you. That ain't true. And really what it comes down to is salvation by works. You know, we're going to go to heaven because we did all the things. Well, I don't care if you got filled with the Holy Ghost. I never did everything right. I just want to throw it out there just if you didn't know. This way. I don't plan on going because I got a perfect A's on my report card. I'm going because Jesus got perfect A's on his report card. That's why I'm going. So, if you want to know, but these things get pushed out there and this stuff starts. And what's bad about these things is these things get deep-seated. Then it starts. See, they'll find a place where the devil will find a place where he can stick something into antagonism, something to pervert something about the good news. And he'll slide it in there, and then he'll get that little bit of where you did this thing, so you get to, you get to go. Here, the other guys don't. And after a while, other things will start. Then they'll start other things. And see, I found out this individual, after telling me that, about a year later, now he believes the earth's flat. But they get in, but the whole thing was, see what happened? Satan gets a little spot. And see, he usually don't get a spot on a big thing. And this is why getting over in the grace of God. Salvation is specifically from the standpoint through faith in Christ. It isn't anything to do with our performance. Thank God. Now look, we want as believers in the Bible, and Paul even wrote and taught, you know, he wants us to have good conduct and he wants to have a thing. But you don't enter the kingdom anything upon anything you ever did or you ever accomplished. It is simply by faith in Christ. It's the grace of God that saves man. If you believed in your heart and you believe that Jesus is Lord and you confessed him as your Lord and Savior, you are born again. And that's all. You're in the kingdom of God. It doesn't take anything else beyond that to get into the kingdom. And then you're in the kingdom, God offers you a lot of things. And the gospel tells us these things. But all these things are responded just like to, God wants us to live good, but here's one thing. If it doesn't say living right pleases is going to be your pleasing thing to God. It says you can't please him without faith. Because you know what? You'll never live up to the standard that he'd like to see you live without you living by faith. Faith is what gives you the ability to live the standard that he wants you to live. No man without faith can live to the standard that God wants. You do it by faith. There's many people and religious people that do a lot of nice and great things and that stuff, but have never really lived by faith, and they've never walked in their life where it pleased God, because they've done everything that they've done by their works, their own works. They haven't done it by faith. They haven't had to trust God. They didn't trust God for anything. They're living by a standard that they've set. Their group has a standard it's set, and that standard, and lots of times the standard ain't the Bible. And they're just following this, but they're not living by faith. They've arrived to a point, and they never go any further than that. They just arrived to this place, and I'm doing night. You know, I don't drink, swear, smoke. I don't do those things. I don't throw rocks. I'm nice to my neighbor. I do all these things, Hey, I'm the nice guy. I'm the good Christian guy. I'm the great guy person. See, that's what I've done those things now. So God really likes me, but the whole time I've never used faith one time, other than coming into the kingdom. I've never used my faith ever to follow God. You know, if God wants me to have something, he'll have it. If he don't want me to have it, I won't have it. If you don't use faith for nothing. You know, if a rock falls out of heaven on my head, that was God's will. Car runs over me when I go out of the house and go out to get in the car, and a trailer truck runs off the highway and runs me right down. That was the will of God. Faith is never used. Never pleasing God. See, people don't realize it. Never pleasing God. Many people live and die as Christians and have never really pleased God ever. They never walk by faith. Life is just a chance that you're living in. And you're just trying to do your best. And they say, you never know what's going to happen to tomorrow. The Bible says the Holy Ghost shows you things to come. Now, is the Bible true? Are these idiots still? 90% of Christians are liars. Now, they don't realize it, but they're liars. They bought this lie, you can't know about tomorrow. Well, then, what the heck's the Holy Spirit doing? Is this, Jesus was a liar? Told us that the Holy Ghost showed me things to come, but you ain't going to ever know nothing to come. You ain't going to know about tomorrow. You can't know about tomorrow. See, and you get all, see, they never live by faith. There's never faith entered into life, yet they talk about, I have faith in Christ. What faith in Christ? They had the faith to get born again, but they never had any faith beyond that. Never have had faith. In other words, they've only ever had a baby faith. That's all they ever had. And they become leaders of churches. They become pastors. They become leaders of denominations. And then they turn around and say, yep, homosexuality is all right. See, they never lived by faith. That's why we have to see this thing is when we look at the grace of God, from Paul's teaching and looking at grace, grace is something, and if I know Paul, Paul's a grace teacher. You can't teach grace without teaching faith. Because grace can only be responded to and only gotten by faith. You can never get any grace by works. Never. My performance never measures to I can get grace because my performance was good. So now I get grace. Grace is measured by faith. Now look, performance is good to have. It's good to have walk right, live right. It is. It's good. Thank God if they walk right, they don't hate their neighbor or something. That's good. But never to walk in faith is really a huge, big shame in life. Now in Galatians, the first chapter and verse 8 says, I really appreciate Paul saying this. Paul says, but even if we, speaking of himself and the guys that he's with, you know, the guys that he talked about that we, this letter was written from, we, he said, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Now, understand what he's saying here. Paul has come along and preached the gospel to them. And Paul says, if I ever come back and preach a different gospel than that preacher, let me be accursed. Now he said, even if an angel comes. Well, we know this. Like the Mormon religion was started, well, it was a Christian. They were Christian, started off. And then the leader had an angel appear to him, and his name was Mahoney. And Mahoney told him all this baloney. And Mahoney told him a lot of baloney, and he wrote it down. But the baloney he told him was stuff that was not scripturally based. And Paul would say, let him be accursed. In other words, that angel should be accursed. But see, if you don't receive another God, Paul, in other words, Paul's gospel, when you go to the scriptures, you accept Paul's gospel. I'll tell you what, if you don't accept Paul's gospel, you cannot live a successful Christian life. Paul has revelation in his gospels that are not given by John or Peter or James. None of them talk about. He talks about things. He talks about who you are in Christ. The other guys didn't. You wouldn't even know that. You wouldn't even have you won't ever even find out or know who you are in Christ and what you got through salvation if it wouldn't be for Paul's letters that we have. You wouldn't even, if you remove Paul's letters, you wouldn't even know any of that stuff. They were put in there. And this is one thing, you need to understand. That's why Paul said, if somebody comes along and preaches another gospel. See, Paul's gospel was not a gospel, just get saved. That was not Paul's gospel. That's the gospel of men today. Paul's gospel was a gospel that revolutionized men's lives, changed people's lives. And he said, if anybody comes and preaches another one, let him be accursed. Now, that word accursed is a very serious term. Like we'd say here, you know, somebody being cursed, they think it sounds, oh, you know, it's bad. This is 100 times worse than that. This has nothing to do with having bad something happen to you tomorrow. That, you know, a black cat goes across your path and you... Accursed, this word accursed is anathema, well, a Greek word. It says an animal to be slain as a sacrifice devoted to destruction. This would be the animals that were sacrificed where they laid their hands over and the sin of the people were put on that animal. And that animal was destroyed because of sin. Now, because of its association with sin, the word had an evil connotation, which was synonymous with a curse. In the sacrificial scheme, anathema meant alienated from God without the hope of being redeemed. Paul said, now think of this, Paul said. Paul said, if I come preach you another gospel, he said, I should be cursed where I cannot be redeemed. In other words, I'd be lost for eternity. This is how serious this stuff is. The church has never taken it serious, and we're in a day that the church is not taking it serious at all with a lot of the lousy gospel that's preached. This is serious stuff. It's so serious. Why? Because it's dealing with the spirits of men whether people get born again or just get in with a religious group. I'll tell you what, there's churches I would not darken the door of, and it's not because there's some pretty crazy stuff. That just places out here and that stuff, their gospel is so messed up. Their gospel is, you know, yeah, they talk about Jesus, and they talk, but, I mean, they're so weak in their belief in the saving of Jesus Christ. You know, well, I just got my sins for Jesus forgave me my sin. You don't even hear him talk today about the new birth or anything. Nobody gets born. I just got my sins forgiven. Well, if that's all you got, see how long that's going to last. That's a nothing. The forgiveness of sin is in the gospel, but the forgiveness of sin in itself is not going to save. Every man's sins are forgiven. So did you ever receive Christ? People don't even know. They've never passed from death unto life. They've never done it. And it's a shame when you don't have the real. There's not a gospel of power that's preached. It's a nice little wimpy gospel that, you know, we're going to get off to heaven somewhere. Paul speaks, especially today. I mean, the idea here that alienated from God without the hope of being redeemed. I mean, he speaks concerning anybody coming and pervert the gospel in any way like that. So, very serious matter. And in the ninth verse, he says, "And we have said before, so now I say again." Now look, he's going to say it the second time. I want to, if anything is done like this in the Bible, says it the second time in a row. I know this. You aren't going to go to churches and hear this stuff preached. Because it don't follow the feel-good grace that we get today. But he said before, he said, "I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." So, I think it's pretty important. Now, which Paul's pushing across here is the fact that the message is what's important and not the messenger. Most people today, they follow a messenger and not the message. They're more impressed by the messenger if they like his personality, if they like his and this and that and the other thing. Paul's saying, look, if I preach something else, let me be accursed. In other words, Paul's not saying, you know, you follow me. He's talking about following the message. It's the message you follow. Praise God. You know, people accuse me, you just preach Brother Hagin stuff. You're right, it's the right message, so dear God. It ain't about Ed Gibson to begin with. It's about the Word of God. It's about what the Bible says. It's the message, not the messenger. And you know what? I sure should preach what Brother Hagin preached. It was in the Bible. If you got messages other than what other people are preaching, you better check it out. Let them be accursed. It's in the Bible. So we're just preaching the Bible. But it's the message. And that's one thing is look at it. Do that. Sit down. Listen to the message. So people get so tied in the messenger. So tied to the messenger. It's the message. I know people, messengers that they love, they've loved for years. And the people have preached stuff, but boy, people shouldn't be listening to. It ain't right. But they love the messenger. And the messenger, and you say a word against their messenger, they'll burn their Bible if they're so mad at you. They don't care about the message. It's the messenger I'm following. It's the messenger. You don't do that. You follow the message. It's the message. If I don't preach what's true, dear God, you'd be idiots. Be stupid. Follow me, dear God. Hallelujah. Follow the message. Glory to God. You hear the truth. The truth makes you free, not the messenger. No messenger ever made you free. Hallelujah. In the 10th verse says, "For do I now persuade men or God?" He asked the question, who am I trying to persuade, men or God? He said, "Or do I seek to please men?" He said, "For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Here's an important thing, a message, especially dealing with us today, this bondservant thing. A bondservant is a servant of choice. Bondservant wasn't like a regular servant. Under the Jewish law, especially dealing with Jews, a bondservant, if you go over under the law, if a person, say, was sold, like couldn't pay his bills or something, and whoever he owed the money to could take him for a period of time and he would work for him and to pay off his debt. and that person would really become a servant to him. He'd be his servant. If that servant worked for that man to pay off his debt, and he, at the end of his servitude, he liked the guy he worked for, he could ask the guy to become a bondservant to him. In other words, I will serve you. In other words, I like you. I like working for you. I'll just do it for the rest of my life. I'll just become a bondservant of yours. And they would take the guy, and they would take him to the doorpost of the house, and he'd put his ear there, and they would take an awl and take it and punch a hole in his ear and put a ring in his ear. He became a bondservant. Now, he was that man's bondservant by choice for his life. He wasn't under any kind of servitude. He was a bondservant. You know, if he liked his master and he wanted to work for him, stay with him. Because under Jewish law, you know, they would have to, after 7 years, you have to release a person and that stuff, the way it was set up. But this person would say, no, I don't want released. I want to stay with this person. That's a bondservant. So when Paul's using the terminology here, a bondservant, this is somebody who serves Christ by their will. A person who doesn't preach the right gospel is not a bondservant of Christ. They're by their will following something else. And they are not Christ's bonds. There's many people, ministers, call themselves servants of God. And they're preaching stuff other than. They're preaching gospels. I mean, we got people today, everybody's going to be saved and all that kind of stuff. They're not bond servants of Christ. These people are not bond servants. Paul just said so. Paul said, if he preached something else, he wouldn't be a bond servant of Christ. I'm a bond servant. In other words, I'm going to preach. Paul's just saying this. I'm going to preach what God has said. That's what I'm going to preach. I'm not going to do something. I'm not trying to reach men. I'm not trying to please men. I'm not trying to do that. I'm a bond servant of Christ. I'm not a bond servant to men. I'm not going to please people. If people don't like it, that's their problem. And that's what I've learned to do. I don't preach, and I'm not your servant. I'm not your servant. I'm the bond servant of Jesus Christ. I'm not supposed to preach what makes you happy. That's not what I'm for. I'm a bond, and you know what? You're in the same way. You're supposed to be a bond servant of Christ. That's what you do. You follow Christ. And that's what you want to do. And you know what? If we do that, it will all get along. It'll work. We become bond servants of Christ instead of always measuring against people and doing all that kind of stuff. Become a bond servant of Christ. He said, in other words, that what I preach, now he's standing by. This is what Christ gave him to preach, and this is what he preaches. He's not going to change it. He's going to maintain being a bond servant of Christ. And that's what he's going to do in his preaching. Thank God he did. So we're not going to try to please people. It's one thing, as I learned over the years, is you can't do that anyhow. I've watched this time. The people you seem to be the nicest to and do the most for, they will be the first ones to cut your throat. They're the first ones. They'll turn on you because if they don't get what they want. I said, you don't do that. People are only doing, they only follow people because there's something they want. And if that person don't give them what they want, then it gets ugly. It gets ugly. So you can't, and you can't do that. You can't. You follow things because they're right. It doesn't matter because it makes you happy, feels good, or whatever it does. It's nice to be happy and feel good. You know, the Word, there's a lot of wonderful things in the Word, but there's challenging things in the Bible. There's one thing is today. You know, I feel like sometimes I think, God, you challenge us so much. But you know why? It's because generally, nobody's challenging anybody. Everybody's fluff. Everything's going to work out. It's nice. Has it worked out real nice? Has it really turned out great? No, their gospel has sent our nation down the tubes. It hasn't made better people, it's made worse people. Why? Because nobody is challenged from the standpoint, you know, that they talk about, oh, we want to be Christ-like. Well, what do they mean, you want to be Christ-like? What do people mean when they say that? You know what they think I do? I'm just some nice guy, barefooted, walking around carrying sheep and smiling. We're just having a nice time. Oh, I'm so cute, I'm so nice. And, you know, Jesus said things like, take up your cross and follow me. He didn't say, pick up your sheep. He said, take your cross. It's like, dear Lord, I didn't come bring peace but a sword. We're not preaching that on Sunday because that wouldn't make people happy. Would nobody be smiling and shouting if we said it? Well, I don't know. I've learned to smile and shout at all those messages too, because if you can't, you know, there's places you're never going. You'll never go. There's places, things, grace you'll never walk in. You'll become a person that always has the tire tracks on them. You know, you're always getting run over. Always got the tire tracks over you. And, you know, and I'm not going to be one of them guys. I'm sorry, the devil ain't running me down all the time. Hallelujah. I know how to take my cross and I'll hit him with it. Glory to God. The Apostle Paul in verse 11 and 12, he said, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man." It's not according to man. This is really interesting according to the gospel. He said, "For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, I want you to understand this about the Apostle Paul. This is the contrast here between the gospel of Jesus Christ and the religion of the religious Jews. This is the contrast. But Paul, we need to understand this. Religion comes from the minds of men. The Jews had taken the law and added so much to it that Jesus said they made the Word of God of no effect. In other words, what the Word of God was supposed to produce in man, the knowledge of his need for a Savior, they took the law and turned it into salvation, that if you have the law, you're saved. They distorted the law and they made a false law. They took the law, in fact, they got the law so detailed, down to the things of such detail in the law, if like in Jesus' day, people could be put to death for the most insignificant little stupid thing you've ever heard of in your life. Do you realize in Jesus' day, the disciples could have literally been put to death for not washing their hands going through the field? Taking a drink. Do you know in the law, they're in the law, and Jesus told them about in the law, there's no law, there was never a law that you couldn't eat without washing your hands. That was never in the law of Moses. That was put in by their law that they wrote into how to keep the law. This is how you keep it. And they put it in there and they said, "This is God's word." The washing of cups and dishes and all that kind, they had all their things of. And really, if people didn't do them, man, you could be stoned for that stuff under their law. Their law was ridiculous. They did them. That's why Jesus told them. He said, like when you tithe, he said, you tithe in your gardens. 10%, they take 10% of their mint and cumin and all those. They take their little herbs. They just, everything to the detail. The whole thing is Jesus trying to miss it. He said, yeah, and he said something about the gnat, and he said, you end up swallowing the camel. You know, the whole thing of it was, they were not operating any faith. It didn't matter they were doing all that stuff of perfect tithe. None of it was done by faith. It was all following this legalistic system that made me righteous. And the whole thing, I tithe. Tithing don't make me righteous. Tithing don't make me. It's a good thing to do, but it don't make me righteous. I've been made righteous by Jesus Christ. I tithe because I am righteous, not because I'm trying to get righteous. You know, I don't have, you know, if I messed up and I missed 2 cents on it, I wouldn't worry a lick about it. I'm not worried about all the mint and cumin. But see, they did, they followed all that. And they set this system up and they had their system. And the legal, they were righteous by their system. Paul later writes on the thing, in fact, according to their system, he was perfect. But you know what? He's going to hell. There's people in churches today who are going to hell who are perfect in their system, and they swear they're children of God, and they're going to go to hell because they don't walk by faith in Christ Jesus. They have their religious system that they follow, and that's their righteousness. That's their righteousness. And it's not based upon the faith in Christ. And see, this is why, you know, we have to, you want to, you got to, legalism is so deceptive and so deceiving how it comes in. You know, we serve God just because he's good to us. You can't pay him back. You can't. And if you're trying to attain the righteousness that we have, you can't ever make it up in any way. You can't do it. It's God's righteousness, and no man's ever going to have that unless God gives it to him. You can't have it in any other manner. You can only get it by faith. There's no other way to attain that salvation, that great righteousness by faith. There's no other way to get it. So take it in the way that it comes. Paul got his revelation. We know that because we go over, and I'm not going to go into all the teaching of it. See, Paul was caught up to heaven. We're going to find out. Paul's going to talk about it where he went out into Arabia and that stuff. God took him out away from there. But we know this because Paul talked about a man. He said, I knew a man once who got caught up to heaven. Paul was writing about himself. He was the man he knew. He got caught up into heaven. Paul was caught up to heaven, and Jesus Christ himself explained the gospel to the Apostle Paul. Do you know, sometimes a teacher, there's one of the things. Now, I wasn't called up to heaven, but over a past period, a couple of weeks, God really, not from the standpoint, Jesus didn't appear to me, but it was very supernatural. He would talk to me and talk to me about finances, and he talked to me about this and gave me revelation, things of finances I never heard anybody talk about. He gave me scriptures for it. And he told me about where my faith was and how where I stood and believed. And he said now, and he showed me that how these different things would work if I stood over in these certain things. He began to give, but it was, he took me over the scriptures to it, things I haven't heard other people teach about it. I've never heard anybody else ever say about it. But he took me over there. God sometimes takes you and gives people revelations about things and gives people revelations where he actually comes. Now we come along and we say, well, the Holy Spirit teaches. Why did he do it that way? I haven't got a clue. But number one, before that time, I wasn't even looking really in the direction that he came and talked to me about. But there's a revelation that he wants to bring into the earth and he wants to bring into people. And there's some things that, you know, just like this, sometimes he'll supernaturally teach people things. He did that to Brother Hagin. Brother Hagin, he supernaturally taught him about how demons operate and work. He got called up to heaven. He got called up to spirit. The Lord showed him how demons operated, showed him individuals, people, actually living individuals. He saw who were dealing with demon problems. He explained to them about the person and what goes on, what's happening, what that demon does, how they act. So he showed him those things, teaching, because those teachings had been lost in the earth. They've been lost. They were gone. People never even heard. So Brother Hagin, years ago, back in the 1950s, turned around and wrote about those things. Up to that time, people, that was completely lost to Christianity. Christianity didn't even know about those things. There's things that I look at today that are very familiar to me, but I look across the body of Christ, basically not familiar at all. But the revelations, and these revelations, people don't walk in or know, yet they're in the earth, they're here. And this is the whole thing. Just think about the fact that Kenneth Hagin, his whole purpose of his ministry was like John the Baptist. But he was supposed to get God's people ready for the return of Jesus Christ, and he was supposed to go teach God's people faith. So without faith, you're not going to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. People don't realize. Why would he be taught, go teach people faith, get people ready, teach the church faith? How much the church wants to hear the faith message? Jesus sent a man, gave him personal teaching and personal instruction in the things in the scriptures dealing with these, so he could get the body of Christ ready. And man, we're sitting on a bunch of deaf church, I'll tell you. And people aren't paying attention to it, and they're not listening to it. Yet God sent the message in, and he chooses to do that. Paul was given this message, in which we find later on too, that Peter even makes mention about Paul's revelation, that it's sometimes hard for people to understand. Because it really, Peter came out of a religious mold. to speak of grace in its grace, great graciousness, is really hard for a person, a legalistic person. It's very hard for them to accept the fact that I got to lay down my righteousness. I'm sorry, I want to keep my righteousness. I want to hang on to my, you know. I'm so darn good. I just they want to cling to that, and it's very hard to accept. You know, I think a lot of people, it's hard to accept of looking at when God looks into the world, that God, the idea that God looks at humanity, that his love for the sinner, that he went to the cross for all humanity. People talk about this, but I don't think it's a reality, because they look at somebody who has sinned. And even look at a saint that missed it, and they look at him as like, well, you know, God's ready to shoot him. And they just can't get the idea of God's love and grace toward individuals. They can't get that thing to be grasped of the merciful, how merciful God is. And legalism will always push people to the point of their righteousness by works, or I follow this certain pattern, we do things. And if you aren't following my pattern, then you can't be in it. You have to be in my pattern or in my thing. So the grace of God doesn't work. And I think it's very hard for people, because we try to reason out worthiness for salvation or worthiness for the grace of God in any area of our life, or just becoming worthy for it, instead of we're never worthy of it and we didn't earn any of it, and the fact that I need to receive it. And so if God says he's given me something, then I need to receive it whether I feel myself to be worthy or not. That seems to be very difficult for people to do, because people are always trying to either earn their way. I even find it's very strange, because you would think that socialistic people would really like Jesus and faith. and grace, but they hate it because they're always trying to get something they don't deserve. And they're always trying to do nothing for everything. And they're trying to have it all without doing a thing. You'd think they love the message. And they don't. See, this is where the church today is trying to reach these kind of people by offering a real sloppy grace. You don't have to do anything. You can just be in this thing and you don't have to walk with God or follow God. You can sin and don't have to confess your sin. You can just go do what you want. Because they're trying to make it a socialistic grace. But you know what? They already believe that way. They don't need a God that way. So that gospel has no effect on them. And these people don't realize how stupid they are because they're preaching a false gospel to a people who already live like this. They already think it's this way. They don't hear nothing new to their belief. So why accept Jesus? Who needs it? They don't want to change life. Basically, that's what preaching is. You don't need to change life. No, you keep your life the same. Just accept Jesus, be saved. Just keep your life just as scum you are. An unchanged, and that's what God's looking for. He just wants to save you. He wants to save you. He just forgive you of your sin, and you just go off and do whatever. It's the weirdest thing in the world. They think that that's going to work. That's the deception of Satan. These people are so deceived by Satan to think that they're doing something of love for somebody when really they're not a bondservant of Christ, and they're following the devil. And the devil's people look at him and laugh. They know it's stupid. They know it. They know it doesn't amount to nothing. They can figure that one out. The apostleship of Paul, though, came from God. Because, you know, as we talked about Paul in Ephesians, writing about he, speaking of Christ, gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So no man puts a person in an office. People might come along and accept an office. And there's nothing wrong with the ministry, like being accepted in the office you're in. Brother Hagin laid hands on me concerning gifts of God, you know, in me to stand in offices that I stand in. And you do that where people recognize that office working in you. But somebody laying hands on you can't give you the gift. You either have to have the gift before you have to lay hands on. The hands is about the anointing to operate in the gift, but you could have the gift and not get an anointing to operate in because you're going to have to do things to get yourself in line with the gift. You have to respond to the gift. Just because you're called don't mean God's going to anoint you for it. That's where people are completely wrong. They believe that you are just given the gifts and those gifts, the anointing goes with it and it doesn't operate like that. You can have the gift and not really have an anointing to flow or operate in it. I knew what I was gifted and operating to do years before I ever got into it, wherever I got anointing to do it. Years before it happened. And so you don't do that. God anoints you. He puts you into the ministry. Paul said that God found him faithful and put him into the ministry. In other words, he was found faithful doing what God had called him to do, and then God anointed him to stand in the place that he's given it to. Nobody's going to enter right into the office that they're called to. That will never happen. And people say, well, God called me to be a prophet. Well, wait 15 years. You may get into it if you walk right. You may arrive at this point, but you ain't going to get anointed to stand that office. You can be as called as you want to it. There's many people out here today in offices. They have never been anointed to stand that office, and they're totally walking by their call to that office, but they never operate in it because they don't have the anointing to operate in that office. And until you get the anointing. When I led Bible school, the Lord said to me, we were graduating in May, and in the beginning of May, I was walking from SDC 1, the student teaching area, and I was walking down through to the auditorium. When I was walking down through to the auditorium of Ruckin Memorial, I was walking down through there, and the Spirit of the Lord just spoke to me real clear. He said, you've been faithful to the things that I've called you to the people and to the ministries I put you in, and you've been faithful to labor and work in him. He said, now I'm going to put you in your own ministry. I'm going to put you into what I called you to do. So he said. Now, up until that time, I had ministered in other churches. I'd done all kinds of things. I'd done listen to God and done many things. I had taught. I had a teaching gift. I had that. But that teaching gift, really wasn't into the office that he had called me directly, things he wanted me to go into. And there are still things I have not entered into yet, of anointing-wise, that he told me that I would do. So, still, you're always working and you labor in what you're in and being faithful in what you're in to go to another. He wants to take you to another level, but it's something you always work at. It don't just happen to you. We know with the Apostle Paul didn't start off as an apostle. He was either a prophet or a teacher. Scriptures show us that. So he didn't start off as an apostle. Even though he was called to that, he didn't start off there. Nobody does. Nobody starts off into those, to the area. You prove yourself faithful in whatever, and I started off, like I said, in faithfulness. I would go, the church we were with, I'd go set up, and I'd go do things, and clean the bathrooms, and sweep the floors, and I'd do all that kind of stuff. I'd go and set up chairs and do all that stuff. I did. That's where I started. That's where my faithfulness was proved at. I'd go shovel the snow. I'd do the stuff. I always did what I wasn't asked to do. It needed to be done. If I could see something needed to be done, I went and did it. I didn't turn around and wait for somebody to have to tell me to do something. I would go do it if it needed to be done. I didn't wait around because I found that everybody else would stand around. Nobody would ever do nothing. They had to be told. If they weren't told, they didn't do a thing. And they're waiting around in life. And I found that if God wants you to use in a place of leadership and you're like that, He ain't going to use you. You ain't ever going to go nowhere. You're not going to get an anointing. Because there's one thing is serving God. God doesn't want people that they know what to do and don't do it. They're waiting to be told. God don't want that kind of person. That ain't a good person to have in the ministry. I don't do anything unless I'm told. Because the grace works inside of you. You see things and you know things, and you have to flow that with that without being told to do it. You got to learn to know, to yield to things and do stuff. That's just what you got to do. I mean, there's no other way around it. And people in ministry, lots of times people, they want to be something, do something, but they're not going to ever go there and get the anointing of God. And it's number one, I learned, you don't try to go to something you ain't been anointed to. Tried that. Don't work. Don't do it. Don't try to go where you aren't anointed to go to. You know, as they taught us in Rhema, they said, don't go to the people, even if God, you know God wants to send you to a people, you don't go to them till He sends you. Because if you go beforehand, you'll probably ruin everything God wanted to do there. He said, many people have done that. They have gone to people they have not been anointed to go to yet. They don't wait. You know, I don't care what God's called you to something, you don't go there till He sends you there and says, okay, now it's time to go. Now you know it's time to go. It's time to do it. The Apostle Paul, we're going to find, he didn't do that in ministry. He didn't go on his own just because he had a call. He had a supernatural salvation. And the Lord showed him all the things he's going to have to suffer for His name's sake. But he wasn't anointed to do all that stuff and go through all the things that he went through right away. And there's one thing, there's things and challenges in life. You don't want to start off and go into it till you're anointed to be in it. Because the challenges you're faced, you're going to 100% fail without the anointing. Because it's going to drive you out of the ministry, not keep you in. There's only one reason I've stayed in the ministry, the anointing. It's only one minute. If I didn't have the anointing, I would not be in the ministry. I'd stay out of the ministry big time. I would not want to be in the ministry without the anointing. I'm going to tell you what, I'd rather be in Iraq. I'm serious. I'd rather be in Afghanistan. I am not kidding. I would take Vietnam all over again than be in the ministry without the anointing. The average minister don't even stay in the ministry 4 years today. That's how hellish it is. You better be anointed. Because if you're just out there and it's just you, you're going to drink. You're going to try to anoint yourself. You know, because it's not about people, it's demons. They're just, devil comes against you and wants to stop you from going anywhere. You better be anointed to be in the place you are, or the devil's going to eat your lunch there. He's going to eat your lunch. There's no way of getting around it. It's just the way it is. And if you don't have the anointing, you're going to get run over. You're standing in a place you don't belong. And the devil will eat your lunch. That's just the way it is. It's not nothing weird or nothing strange. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Let me tell you what, there's a ton of them. And you need to understand it. If you're in a full-time ministry, you're attacked more than anybody's attacked. If you're going to preach the truth, you're going to get attacked more than anybody's going to attack. Because the devil is smart. Just like in any war, you try to stop whoever's going to cause you the most problems and the most damage and that stuff. That's what you want to end, you want to stop. If you can stop the preachers, you stop the church. And boy, has the devil done good at that. He's brought the message. He's got him to preach his messages. They get him to do it. United States, the church has ended up a mess. And it's because Satan's been allowed in. People leave their anointing, start preaching other gospels, following other things, start preaching. They start losing the anointing. The devil starts having more and more access to them. More and more access. Ministers become preachers to what the people want to hear than rather the Word of God. Because they'll end up people pleasers. They'll leave the bondship to Jesus Christ. You can't stand. You don't have anointing. There's only one way to survive. People have to like you. Or you'll quit. Because you can't stand to be rejected. They might not like me. And if I preach, they might not listen to me anymore. And I need, my ego needs that. I need them to like me. It's like people in life without God. Parents in life without God. Without God, my children have to love me and my children don't love me. I can't stand it. And I have to, so I got to do whatever they want so they like me. I don't want people to think that I'm a bad person. Because if they don't think my kids don't like me, then I'm a bad person. And that's what they do. People without God. No anointing in their life. Yield to every spirit that comes along. Their own insecurities. I'll tell you what. The anointing will make you tough as nails. It does. And I'll tell you, I thank God, because I don't know how you make it without it. I don't know how you do that. Because you have to be able to just say, man, can't let this move me. Can't let this change me. This is what I know. This is what I understand. This is what I'm going to preach. This is what we have to do. And you stay with that. And when you get that, like to me, life isn't really difficult to look to what to do because I change not. You get to that, I'm going to... But see, you don't have to be a preacher to have that. The anointing in a Christian's life, if you sell yourself to it, you'll become that way yourself. And the anointing in your life will be that way. And the devil will come along and he'll do things, but you don't ever quit with God. You don't quit. To me, it's like, you just don't quit with God. You just... No, this is the way. I mean, this is just the way it is. And I ain't going to go... There's not a plan B. I don't have one. There's not another thing to go do. This is what I do. Till the day I go in the box, we're going to preach this thing. That's it. This is what we do. And it's like, this is the right, this is right. I don't care who says what or who does what. I don't care if 99% of all people just turn in here in America into church and say, no, this isn't, I don't care. That's not going to change me and my belief. I'm not going to try to get people to like me for it. I don't care. I know what true is. And I'm sold on the truth because... You know, I'm hooked up with the one who is the truth. I know him. And I know him better than anybody else. I know him better. I know more about him than I know about my wife. And that's good for my wife. But it is. And I know more about him and hooked up. And you need to be at that place where you're more hooked up with him than you are with anything else. Because that's the only way. If you want to bless anybody else, you don't have to do that. Because what you'll do and call blessing people will be no more than you trying to get people to like you. You don't bless them for their sake. You bless them for your sake. Trying to get them to think you're a wonderful person. See, they think I'm really nice now. They think I'm... See, you know, they don't know me yet. Jesus is real nice. Jesus saved them, Ed, didn't he? Glory to God. Father, we just want to thank you tonight. God, I keep thinking, Lord, about Kenneth Hagin talking about, and he said to us in school numbers of times, and also I heard him say at meetings, where he said God wants Christians to have a backbone like a crowbar, and he said most Christians a backbone like a string. But Lord God, that's not going to be us in this next last days. Lord God, you're raising up a people who are going to stand. Lord, after the apostles got saved, those men stood and through their entire life. Lord, every one of the apostles of the Lamb, every one of them were put to death in not nice ways. But Lord God, they didn't quit. They stood no matter what. And Father God, I want to thank you. That's our heritage. We're going to stand no matter. We got that same salvation. That's the salvation we got. Hallelujah. Lord God, we got that same grace. And Lord God, that grace builds strength in people, not weakness. Lord God, people who have a tenacity to stand. Lord God, people who become like Jesus, unmovable. Hallelujah. To stand, Father God, we're standing on truth and we know what's the truth. And Father God, Father, we're not going to tell people lies to get them to like us. Lord God, we want them to come to Jesus. It isn't about us. And we're going to tell them the truth. And Lord God, your truth is wonderful. And it's so glorious. But Lord, it's a call for people to give up their life to take your life. And Lord, I know that that's not really preached today. Because people are preached to that they can keep their life. But Lord God, thank you, Lord God, for showing me to give up my stupid life. It wasn't a good one anyhow. Oh, hallelujah. But Lord God, when I took up your life, it changed my life. It changed everything. It was the best thing I ever did. Lord God, I never gave a thing up really for you because the payback has always been so much greater. Lord God, the peace that passes understanding, guarding my heart and mind in Christ Jesus, Lord God, $2 trillion couldn't give you that. Nothing in this world, nothing, Lord God, that men could do could give you that. But Lord God, that has come through your great grace. And I want to thank you. You gave that. Lord God, you gave us faith to trust you. Just, it comes right out of your word. And all we got to do is receive your word as true. And Lord God, we trust you. And Father, what the things that will change. It are phenomenal. Lord God, just through the simple faith that we took on the day that we accepted you as our Lord and Savior, what it did for our lives. My God. Lord, it all started in that faith thing, is trusting in your grace and your goodness and your mercy. And I thank you, Father God. Father, you really are taking us from glory to glory. Lord, we're walking in something greater, I believe, than we've ever imagined, the glory that we're stepping into in these last days to be revealed in us. Father, we are going to go from glory to glory, from glory to glory. We thank you for it. Thank you for leading us to this hour. Thank you, Lord God, for showing us these things in the Scriptures. Lord God, Lord, I want to thank you. I'm just going to stay a bondservant. I'm a bondservant in Jesus. I just decided to follow you, and so we're just going to do that. Lord, I don't, just like Peter said, who else are we going to follow? Where else are we going to go? Who else has the words to life? Nobody else got one. Father, I don't understand it all, but there ain't no place else to go. I've seen enough of you to know that we're not going to do something else. You got it. And you're the only one that could give it to us. So we thank you for it. Father God, I want to thank you because, as Paul wrote and said that the good work that you started in, he said started in you, he's going to bring it to completion. Well, the good work you started in us, you're going to bring it to completion in the name of Jesus Christ. We have no fear or no worry about that. What you started, you will work out and finish. And Lord God, Jesus Christ will be magnified in us in Jesus' name. Amen.